This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin our Monday edition of VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. My man, wow. 18 weeks of the regular season, the NFL season. It's in the books. We are on to the second season. In the immortal words of the late, great Jack Buck, I don't believe what I just saw last night to wrap it up, Jensen. I know in Cleveland there was a lot of consternation there about what's going to happen with the organization. We've seen some firings already in Atlanta. It's Black Monday. We're going to get to in the Black Monday. Looking back at our picks this year, what a way to wrap up the regular season last night.
The NFL, the greatest reality show going, man. And boy, did it deliver last night. So many different tentacles to take out of that. Also, you know, both the early window and the late window with implications. I don't think we've ever watched as intently a meaningless, quote unquote, meaningless game as we did with the Falcons and the Saints. It was hysterical seeing Emily Mayfield. I've known the Mayfield since they've been up here and seeing her post Baker as a fan. And how crazy it was watching him with no control over what was happening yesterday. But we get to the second season, my friend. A lot of stuff to break down. Cannot wait for Super Wild Card Weekend.
Yeah, I mentioned there's already a couple openings here in the NFL. Some that came yesterday. We're going to get a lot today. However many that normally is, we'll find out. And that's why we're going to have our GM, Marty Herney, join us for an extended period today. No better person to have on the program today than Marty to know exactly what this day is like. As we look back on the regular season here, what we're going to see in that second season. And, of course, the great king of Connecticut, Will Hill, is going to join the program with his best bets. And I wonder if Will has already gotten to the window here on Super Wildcard Weekend. Once those numbers populated last night, we'll be talking about all of those numbers here, Jensen, as the show goes. But if you're waking up in Baltimore this morning, Danny Higgins does a great job helping produce this program. We feel for those guys today. It's a tough way to go out, but that's where we begin today's edition of Highlights and Headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
One for the ages. You can make the case last night, the last regular season game of the regular season was the best. And it was, you know, from somebody watching this thing, and obviously we had our betting interest in there, for just from a aesthetics point of view, and the potentially two future Hall of Fame head coaches, whatever you feel about Mike Tomlin, John Harbaugh. Certainly two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks in Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson. And watching those guys in that fourth quarter, knowing that one's going home and one's going to win this division and move on into the second season, doing everything they can to get their teams in position, and both doing it multiple times in the fourth quarter to put their teams ahead. And then Jensen, it comes down to a missed kick, a 44-yarder to win it, and it is wide right. And all of a sudden, the Steelers somehow survived 26-24. I don't know where to begin. I thought Rodgers was spectacular. I thought Lamar made some of the most incredible Houdini-like plays that you're ever going to see. And yet, there could only be one, and it's going to be the Steelers moving on to the next round.
Yeah, I was on the Ravens big before the game on the under as well. And boy, I thought both those were getting home with flying colors there. When you look at halftime, 10-3, and at least early, and I had said this to you several weeks ago, one of the betting rules we will take out of this year and moving forward, whenever the Baltimore Ravens get up by double digits, it is an immediate auto bet on the spread of their opponent. And boy, did that come home. Glad I took my own advice last night. 27 points there in that fourth quarter, so the under had never had a chance. But I think it was ultimately just that final stanza. I mean, the last three drives, basically, the roller coaster of emotion. I mean, just watching Aaron Rodgers' demeanor on the sideline when that fourth down was converted with likely, I mean, just threading that ball by Lamar in between two guys. I know we'll break it down further, but it's a game that Baltimore gave away. They had every opportunity to put it away, and that's the mark of a champion. Aaron Rodgers, never say die. They found ways to stay alive. That Pittsburgh defense gave them a few opportunities, and they make the most of it.
Tyler Loop, I know he's going to wake up today sick to his stomach missing that 44-yarder, but you'd seen Chris Boswell miss an extra point on the other right after getting that go-ahead touchdown there. and he misses the first extra point he's missed all year. So you saw some weird things in the kicking game there. It's a tough place to kick, and I know everybody's going to be focused on that kick, but there's so many different ways, and I think this is why coaches specifically say it never comes down to one play, even though that one play right there was going to be the decider between winning and losing as time expired on the Ravens season. The Niners season is not over, but Saturday night, it took a big hit, and that's because Seattle went in there and was physically dominant, 13-3 in winning the NFC West. And this was a big one for yours truly. I got to be honest with you, I did not feel like they played their best football offensively, missed a couple kicks as well from Jason Myers, and yet you never felt like they were in jeopardy of losing this game. That is the true mark of a really good football team, Jensen, that I think you can win with maybe your B-minus game on the road and still get it done with relative ease. They are now the betting favorites to win the Super Bowl, the Seattle Seahawks. And, Jensen, I know precedent says when they're the number one seed coming out of the NFC, they get to the Super Bowl.
Not only that, but when we get through Daily Gridiron today, some really fascinating trends just with number one seeds overall. And as you mentioned, some really good history here if you're a Seahawks fan. Also, the Broncos clinching the one seed yesterday, taking care of business against the Chargers. They also pretty favorable. Just about 10 years ago, Dave, pretty special and remarkable what both these coaches have done. You have Mike McDonald, who's going to be very much in that Coach of the Year conversation. Sean Payton, what a week or so it's been. Married his daughter, south of the border, comes back, gets the game film in, does what he has to do. But I thought it was fascinating considering, Dave, the Chargers as that seventh seed, should they find their way through on wild card weekend, guess what? We get a rematch. So there wasn't a lot that both sides kind of showed each other yesterday. Fascinating to see if that matchup materializes.
Yeah, congratulations to those two. And could you imagine if we get a repeat of the Broncos and the Seahawks all over again from years past as the one seeds here in the AFC and the NFC? To get the last spot, and we saw this on Saturday, of course, was the Buccaneers getting the win of the Bucs getting the win over the Panthers. So then they needed some help in the way of Tyler Shuck and the Saints. They didn't get it. So Saints get the money, by the way. I know we were on that side here with the New Orleans late touchdown from Tyler Shuck, but yet it's not enough. So that Falcon win does send the Panthers in. They're going to host the Rams as massive 10.5-point underdogs here to host the Rams in that first round wild card matchup next week. But last week, it is about the Falcons getting that win, and you round it out with four straight wins. We'll get to the coaching firings, but Raheem Morris does get shown the door despite finishing the season strongly.
Yeah, not only that, but Terry Fontenot, the GM, also going to be headed out. And remember the rumors that we had heard the last couple of weeks that Matt Ryan potentially was going to be heavily involved at the minimum for front office and head coaching searches. Should it materialize? That has happened now as of last night, at least on the field. Thank you, Tyler Shuck. You respect our money. And what a hell of a touchdown catch to be able to get that cover. So again, if you had Saints plus 3.5, we count our lucky stars on that one. How many times this year, Dave, we can do a whole show on it. The bets that you're like, they got no chance, and it gets across with a play like that. And then last night, Ravens minus 2.5 for me before the line really moved big time, and it had no chance after the end of that. So fascinated to see, at least as of us waking up today, Dave, Titans, Giants, and now Falcons with confirmed head coach openings.
Yeah, and Terry Fontenot, by the way, in 5 years there as the GM, never had a winning record. So you had 2 years there for Raheem Morris. They didn't get it done. And you're on to the next. I know Michael Lombardi, we used to have these conversations a lot, and he was questioning a lot of what the Falcons were doing down there in the ATL. Well, Arthur Blank finally had enough, and they're going to move on in that leadership, those leadership positions, that's for sure. Shane Steichen, by the way, Chris Ballard will be coming back to Indianapolis for another year. So just a side note there as we continue to take a look at Black Monday, who's going to be in, who's going to be out. The Raiders, by the way, are now on the clock for the April draft. They do secure the first overall pick. And what's interesting here, Jensen, is the Giants, by winning the last two games, Giants could have had the number one pick, and they win the last two, and now they slip all the way to 5 by beating the Cowboys yesterday. Raiders do win and put that in jeopardy, and yet Pete Carroll will find out his fate, I'm sure, later on today as well. And yet it's the Raiders on the clock, and the Giants slipping all the way to 5. The Jets will be at 2, the Cardinals at 3, and the Titans at 4.
Speaking of last second field goals, I did have the Raiders money line yesterday. And what was fascinating is, you know, it's just a field goal bonanza. They're in the desert. Chiefs go up. Harrison Butker has it. And then Daniel Carlson, my God, what a boot. A little adrenaline flowing. 60-plus yarder to get it across the line for the Raiders. And then the Giants. I played the money line yesterday. Dave, we talked about it this past week, right? Week 18. How long would Dak Prescott play in company? So I kind of took a chance on not only, hey, if some of the starters are out, perhaps this is where the Giants have been. And let's face it, man, when they have been mathematically eliminated, and it's been a lot of these seasons, just feels like the pressure's off and they just go after it. So fascinating little lead up. And boy, cannot wait to see what happens with that first overall pick.
Yeah, I was on the Giants yesterday too. Had the Cowboys obviously in pocket, 7.5 win total. Was hoping for, you know, a 3-point Cowboy win would have been really nice, but it didn't come to fruition there. But yeah, the Giants fell at the right side yesterday the whole way there. Myles Garrett, by the way, does get the sack record of 23. And again, remember, it is a 17-game season, so Michael Strahan will be the first one to point out that his record was in 16. Remember when Strahan beat it, that was from Mark Gastineau, and whether or not Brett Favre took a dive. So there's a lot of things historically with that sack record that seem to have people causing a little bit of consternation there. And the Jets, how about this, become the first team since 1933. Yes, 1933 to go a whole season without an interception. But it looks like Aaron Glenn's safe there in New York. Looks like he's coming back. Good thing you hired a defensive head coach there. Didn't work out, at least in year number one. We'll get to all the survivor implications here that we saw. 5 people go undefeated in it. As we look back at the conclusion of an absolutely wild regular season and get ready for the second season right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Monday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here coming at you. What a wild conclusion to the regular season we saw last night. And because of Tyler Loop's 44-yard field goal that went begging to the right, it looks like, depending on how you're looking at it, depending. But, his kick goes awry and gets pushed over there to the right, and that comes up a little bit off the mark there. So the Ravens season is over. The Steelers now move on. They will host a Houston Texan team next week coming in. We're seeing about 1.5 here in the marketplace to break that down. But before we do look ahead to those games, when you look back in totality, we talked about it last week. And the reason why I was on the Steelers yesterday, and I did play them 4.5, and I got very lucky in the money line play, was I'd mentioned to you last week, I thought this is the type of reason you get an Aaron Rodgers. You get Aaron Rodgers for these moments. It's not so much for all 17. It's for, man, if I need that one game, I need that one drive, I need that Hall of Famer to be, I got to go get that guy. And he did this without DK Metcalf, which I thought was pretty impressive last night, to throw for 294, 31 of 47. The running game was average at best against that Raven defense. It did change a lot. We're getting into the weeds here. When Kyle Hamilton went out with a concussion, you know how I feel about that kid. I think he's the most dynamic defensive player maybe in the league just from a positional standpoint, that he can play so many different positions. And I thought that really changed the second half. And Aaron Rodgers went right to those replacements. I mean, that's how smart he is. So, Jensen, I don't know that the Steelers are going to be long for the playoff world, but I do. When I watched that game objectively last night, that's why you brought in an Aaron Rodgers. And I feel like if they feel like they got a chance because he's going to try to dissect this thing with his brain.
So let's give credit where it's due, right? Pittsburgh had to make the plays, not only offensively, but defensively. Remember the interception, you know, kind of the batted ball. It looks like TJ Watt. Yeah. There he is again, punctured lung and all, you know, just being able to make one of those impact plays. We also saw the run game from the first half into the second half completely evaporate from Derrick Henry. What was his first rush, 50 some odd yards. Yeah. And you obviously the holding penalty, but still you end up in a position where you're like, thank you. This is exactly what you were supposed to do. If, you know, Lamar and Derrick don't have 35 plus carries between them, then something's wrong. Now, also, we've seen this movie almost the entire season, Dave. How many times have we seen Baltimore get up by double digits early? And then it's almost like the team that goes in at halftime is completely replaced by some timid team in the second half. They found ways to beat themselves yesterday. And they also allowed a Steelers offense to hang around without DK Metcalf, without really a semblance of a big time impactful run game. And I think if you're a Steelers fan, that's got to embolden you a little bit, because there are a handful of red zone opportunities yesterday. And I think Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth did a great job illuminating it. I mean, imagine the one-on-one opportunities where Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf down the stretch in the regular season had shown a lot of synergy. That is something that D'Amico Ryans and this Houston Texans defense will have to contend with. And hey, Mike Tomlin, yet again, from our audience's perspective, Mike Tomlin as a short dog at home in primetime, you know, I thought I was going to be able to squeak one through here with the Ravens the way they looked, man. But boy, that's just yet again, this is why coaching matters. You said it. Big reason why the Steelers find themselves in the playoffs.
Let's hear from that head coach, Mike Tomlin, because as you can imagine, this was just a whirlwind of emotions. Once the kick went begging, you saw the reaction from Tomlin. You saw the reaction, the hugs from Aaron Rodgers, that sideline, that they have a new lease on their football life. So let's hear from Coach Tomlin after the Steelers won the AFC North.
Whew, man. It's another one in the history of this series, man. It's an honor to be a part of this rivalry with that group. Got a lot of respect for him, man. Now, obviously, it was a 60-minute football game. But I'm just happy for those guys in that locker room. They fought and fought and fought, not only tonight, but throughout the entire journey. And so we move forward.
757 guy right there, William and Mary. Oh, look, you can just hear it in his voice, Jensen, the emotion of winning that game and winning the title here to win that division. And again, doing it without DK Metcalf, getting him back now for the playoffs after that suspension. Again, I don't know how dangerous they might be, but I tell you, they do feel like they're going to be playing with some house money here going forward. I felt like the 4.5, you look historically in this series, he mentioned it there. Now, that's just Ravens and Steelers, man. I'm going to grab those points every time. If it was the other way, I would have done the same thing. If the Ravens were 4.5-point dogs, they're just tight games like this for whatever reason. Look, when you get in and you get a ticket to that second dance here, I'm very curious to see if they can play better defense, because Watt did have the big pick, as you mentioned. Highsmith was all over the field. I thought Hayward was everywhere. And yet the Ravens still had their opportunities. We'll get to the postmortem with Marty Herney here, what's going to look like for Baltimore coming up. But in the short term here, Jensen, for the Steelers, I do feel like they're going to feel like they're really live against the Texans.
And not only are they going to be live, Dave, remember one of the subplots headed in, and it is ironic that this game will take place at home at Acrisure Stadium on Monday Night Football. And what is synonymous with that right now? Since October 14th of 1991, we are in the midst of 23 consecutive wins for the Pittsburgh Steelers at home when it's Monday Night Football. I know it's the playoffs, but that is going to be a stark trend when you look at where that game is and also the opponent. We have seen at times when CJ Stroud and company have to go on the road, they have had their issues. They had their issues yesterday when you saw what the Colts were able to do to him and Riley Leonard and company. So, Dave, right now, 3.5-point favorites. The Texans are lowest total on the board, 39.5, 88% of the handle on the under 39.5, but also 88% of the handle on the Texans minus 3.5. So something to watch here as we get moving through the middle of the week and into the weekend. But that's a trend that it will certainly be in the back of my mind before I make a play on that game.
Stunned where that line has already gone since last night from 1.5 up to 3.5 to the way of the Texans. So again, I held my water until that thing hit 4.5 last night. That's when I hopped in on Pittsburgh. dare I say, could we get some fours? I don't know if we will or not. Seattle, by virtue of that win over San Francisco on a Saturday night, massive game there. And you look at the Niners numbers. They just plummeted like a rock, like a stock, down to 20-1 here to win the Super Bowl. And I get it. They are the walking wounded. And everybody's got injuries, so nobody's going to cry for them. But, boy, do they just feel like they keep mounting for this Niner team. And you had more of them in that game Saturday against Seattle. So now they're going to go to Philadelphia. They're getting 3.5 points here in Super Wild Card Weekend. Philadelphia, by the way, could have gotten the 2 seed, but they couldn't beat the Commanders yesterday. It's bizarre watching the way teams now approach Week 18. Very different for playoff teams, but their seeding could have improved. And yet they, not saying they chose not to, but they didn't play Jalen Hurts. They didn't play Saquon Barkley. You go to Tanner McKee, and it doesn't work out. And now they're going to get San Francisco. What do you make of where the Niners are, and are they just running out of bodies here, Jensen?
Yeah, that might be it. And I mean, Kyle Shanahan, for what he's done with all the injuries yet again this year, to have them in position to even potentially get that 1 seed, let alone be where they were in that game with all the injuries they sustained throughout 4 quarters, pretty remarkable coaching job. And that speaks to the pedigree of that organization. You know, you look at this number, and I watched a bit of the Eagles game yesterday. Yes, a lot of the starters did not play. But if you had your druthers, you know, if the 49ers have found ways, especially on the road, to be able to kind of control time of possession, to be able to do what they have to do to limit possessions for their opponents. I don't know. I don't have a strong feel just yet on this game. But again, I asked you the question earlier last week. Are we discounting the Eagles? Are we discounting the Super Bowl champions and defending champions? You got to go through them. And, man, this might be the ideal matchup for Philadelphia, just considering what you talked about. The walking wounded, it's not a big number to cover. If you told me, you know, without really diving into a lot of data, a lot of things as far as the injury reports go, I think I'd have to lay the 3.5 with the Eagles right now. I think of the potential opponents they could have had. This might be the best case scenario for what has transpired and the injuries the Niners sustained over the weekend.
You know me, I was staying up trying to find some needles in haystacks for future tickets that I think could be playable. And I haven't got to the window on any here since the playoff matchups were announced. I'd like to look to that Niners side, but I do have to look at that injury report. And I know that Fred Warner said he's going to be targeting a comeback. It wouldn't be this week. They'd have to win one more game. What status would he be for that defense? And they just got physically beaten up by Seattle. And now you have another really good defense against the Eagles. I'm with you. I just wonder if Shanahan's running out of bodies very quickly. The Panthers, they kind of backdoor their way in, but they're in. And they do win their division, the NFC South. And now I'm seeing 10.5s out there here for the Rams to come in there, Jensen, very quickly. Carolina, congratulations. I guess that's the good news. The bad news is here comes the Rams.
My gosh. It is down to 9.5 for whatever that's worth on DraftKings. So again, shop around if you want early plays. But boy, the Rams, well, they look like a juggernaut for the Panthers to try and keep pace with.
Well, continue those conversations, those changing numbers here, because they are really on the move here since overnight, since we last looked at them right when the games were announced. We'll get to that and more of Week 18 reaction next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are in the new year. You can start it off with smarter betting strategies powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro. You're going to get instant access to everything we do to make more informed bets every single day. You sign up now, you're going to get daily best bets from all of our hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video, full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus expert picks and prop data throughout the entire second season of the NFL and college football playoff. So get started today for just $9.99 or save 50% off with an annual plan. So start betting smarter today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross right here with you. We saw Week 18 come to a close yesterday. We also saw the Broncos wrap up the number one seed, if you will, in the AFC. Now, they did it, Jensen, with nary an offensive touchdown, a bunch of field goals, and a defensive score. It wasn't exactly impressive, but you get it done 19-3, so they don't ask how. They just ask how many. But is this, in your eyes, the team to beat in the AFC?
I mean, history would tell us, and again, I keep teasing ahead, stick around for Daily Gridiron, because some fascinating trends just involving the number one seeds, and particularly what the history has looked like for the last 5 to 10 years. On the surface here, if you are a season-long better in the most regular season wins market, and you had the foresight to pop the Broncos at 20-1, the Patriots, Dave, went off at 50-1. The Seahawks, the same number there. Depending on where your dead heat rules are, you still probably made a pretty nice chunk of change there. But I think you and I had this conversation for about a month. Just knowing how Denver plays at home, the atmosphere, the altitude, the home field advantage, it's a real thing there. If you've never been and you know, kind of had to get through just walking around downtown Denver, it's an experience, and then your cardio output is what it is. So imagine strapping the pads on in a playoff atmosphere. I thought Denver needed to get it. I think New England's fine. They're the only undefeated team on the road. They'll be the 2 seed. So it played out the way that I thought Denver would do it. Now, as I mentioned at the top of the show, no Justin Herbert. Most of the starters not really in there, or at least most of the impact players not really showing too much. So the coaches really holding a lot back. If you were on the under, it was never in doubt. I thought Trey Lance was going to help me get my plus 14 across the line there at the end. A couple opportunities to get that cover. But to roundaboutly answer your question, I still think that you've got to put Jacksonville in this conversation. Ooh. I don't know if there's a lot of daylight between Denver, New England, and Jacksonville as far as the top 3 teams in the AFC.
Remember Matt Flynn? Remember he came in meaningless week 17 back in those days for the Packers, threw for like 1,000 yards, and I kid, but he had a massive game, and he got him a big contract with Seattle. That didn't work out. Russell Wilson becomes the guy. And I'm just watching Trey Lance yesterday, and I'm going, Trey, dude, you're a top 5 pick, man. Like, you got to show something here. And I'm with you. I was on the Chargers. That did not get home yesterday. Another abysmal performance there. But again, you're going to get the big boys back with Justin Herbert and company as they will go on to the second season in the Broncos, that number one seed in the AFC. You mentioned the Jaguars. And the Patriots, by the way, wrap up the 2 seed with their blowout win over the hapless Jets yesterday. And the Jags win the division. Remember, they still to win this game just to win the division. And early on, Cam Ward comes right down at 7-0 Tennessee, and I'm feeling pretty good about some of these Cam Ward props. He gets hurt on the touchdown run, and then he gets pulled from the game, and it's never the same. No, I did not get a refund. Jensen, now, when you look at the Jags, and I want you to hear from Trevor Lawrence, because this is a guy, too, kind of in that context I was talking about Trey Lance, these, you know, top 5 picks or number 1 overall pick like Trevor, and you wonder now if it's starting to click for him all these years later, different coaches. With Liam Cohen, let's hear from Trevor on what it means to be champions of the AFC South.
It's been an awesome year, and just to finish it this way, be able to win the division. Obviously, it took a lot of, you know, focus and grit throughout the season and just taking it 1 week at a time. We had some ups and some downs, and you look at how we're playing now, I feel like we're playing our best ball at the most important time going into the playoffs. So feels awesome. It's not easy to do. I mean, I've been here few years now and only won one division championship, so we're definitely appreciative of the fact that it's not an easy thing to do, especially you look at our division and the teams that are playing well in the competition, and so definitely proud of that. We know there's more for us. You know, it doesn't stop here. We put in all this work to get here. Let's not let it go to waste. You know, we got a big opportunity this week.
Wow. By the way, he has, you know, people are like, what does that guy ever won? He's won a playoff game too, remember? They beat the Chargers with a big comeback a couple years ago. And so a really good year, obviously, for Lawrence and company here is the 3 seed. Now, I kind of like the way the NFL has this now set up, because remember back in the day, the 1 and 2 seeds got byes. Now we've just stripped it down to the 1. I like that. Let's make it worth something. If you're the top dog in your conference, you're the only team to get a bye week. I think it should be a distinct advantage. But how about this? Out of the 8 games next weekend, Jensen, right now in the betting market, we have 4 home dogs. 4. Half of the games, home teams are dogs, including Jacksonville, getting 1.5 against the Buffalo Bills. Where are you on that? Because, again, I get it. The betting market, the betting market couldn't quit the Ravens. and the betting market can't quit the Buffalo Bills. I understand it because you have still the reigning defending MVP and Josh Allen at quarterback. But, man, when you look at that Jaguars team getting a point and a half at home, does that surprise you at all?
I mean, I guess because you said it, like how do you put where, you know, Jacksonville has been all year, the way they finished the second half of the season and still alive for the one seed headed into yesterday, yet they're a dog against a Bills team that, all right, you know, they did what they had to do. They dismantled one of the worst teams in the NFL this year in the Jets. And, you know, were they alive to still try and win the AFC East a handful of weeks ago? Yeah, they were. But, man, I'm just going to be hard for me to get away from where Jacksonville is right now. Again, Steve Mackinnon, our great colleague at VSiN.com, has an unbelievable wild card weekend trend that we are going to feature in Daily Gridiron coming up in hour number two. It is just mind-boggling, and it is set up almost a perfect storm, Dave, of the amount of underdogs and where they are currently positioned for it to be a very profitable ROI for those out there.
Right now, to win the AFC, the Bills and Jags are the third and fourth betting choices, respectively. Bills are plus $5. The Jags are plus $550, which makes sense with the Bills being a point and a half favorite. The inverse is not true in the NFC because we have the Bears and the Packers playing, and the Packers have flipped to a road favorite, yet it's the Packers that are 11-1 to win the NFC, and the Bears are plus $950. So you normally wouldn't have a home dog in Chicago be a shorter overall price point than the Packers. But what that tells you is they value the home field of the Bears if they can get by Green Bay. And they say that the Buffalo Bills and the AFC, Jensen, can be road warriors, go win three. It doesn't matter if it's Jacksonville, if it's then Denver and or New England somewhere down the road. That's the way the betting market's telling us, right? That even though the Packers might be able to win in their eyes, one game next week in Chicago, they can't go win three on the road.
I will start monetizing my Bears 60-1 NFC ticket beginning on Saturday night as well. To me, this is one of those spots, especially watching them yesterday. Yes, have they been the cardiac kids of the NFL this year? They really have. But Dave, I don't have much more hair to lose, if any, if I'm going to sit there and not at least make some sort of profit on that massive ticket. So what I kind of saw yesterday, a little more indicative of I don't want to live by the seat of my pants. Conversely, you know, is this also Matt LaFleur potentially coaching for his job upcoming with the Packers?
Whoa.
Very intrigued to see what this group does, because from an offensive standpoint, there has not been a lot to write home about, especially on the road. So very anxious to see where the numbers go right now. And if you like where the Bears are right now, what a fabulous teaser spot to get them up to plus 7.5. Find a dance partner there. Plenty of underdogs that would fit that billing to be able to make that two-team teaser.
And by the way, the Packers cannot play a home game because they are the 7 seed. So they're going to be going on the road however long this run could last. Remember, it wasn't that long ago here where the Packers inexplicably figured out a way to lose to the Bears. Bears almost did it yesterday to the Lions as well, but they backdoor into that 2 seed because of that Eagle loss that we mentioned earlier. Jensen, very quickly, before we get a break here, where are you now on these teams clearly prioritizing rest and potential avoidance of injury versus playing for the higher seed? It played out all across the league yesterday.
I just think that, is there a certain level of home field advantage that you would rather have than not? Yes. I mean, in theory, but at some point, I think the old adage is you're going to have to go beat somebody somewhere. And whether that is on the road, whether it's at a neutral site, like you're going to have a road no matter what. So I think it is better. I'd rather have on the road all my healthy guys than maybe one or two that are not available to me and have the home field advantage.
Boy, I tell you, if the Eagles have to go to Soldier Field to play the NFC title game, boy, those fan base, they're going to be like, you kidding me? You played Tanner McKee in the final week of the regular season? All right, when we come back, is the MVP, we've got a flip of faves again, and we're going to hear from Sean McVay. Was he lobbying for his guy, and did it play out that way in the second half against the Cardinals? That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
by the books right here on VSiN.
Black Monday continues here on VSiN by the books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. We'll keep you appraised of what we know as the show goes on. Traditionally, in our window, we may get some news today here, so stay with us throughout the entire morning here. And, of course, after us, a numbers game, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidwin, as news breaks. And it will break throughout the day today. Changes in the National Football League. We'll get to those as they happen. Very quickly, I did want you to hear from Sean McVay. And we saw yesterday, they struggled early on, the Rams did, against the Cardinals. And we'll get into our contest here at VSiN, our fantasy, our futures football draft that we had back in August. And it did play out yesterday with what happened with Dak Prescott and what happened with Matt Stafford. But Stafford went nuts in the second half. Rams offense came to life. Was Sean McVay doing that to get the MVP? Well, some would say, well, they didn't get the 5 seed. We just talked about in the last segment, certain teams played it up, certain teams played it down. The Rams played it up, that is for sure, against the Cardinals yesterday. He has now flipped Matthew Stafford to the favorite to win MVP over Drake May this morning when you wake up, America. Let's hear from McVay on whether he thinks it should be Matthew Stafford to get that award.
And to answer your question, Sarah, yes, I think Matthew's the MVP of the league. He played that way. Wouldn't want anybody else leading the way. Got a lot of respect for a bunch of people in this league, but there's nobody I'd rather have being the quarterback of the L.A. Rams than Matthew Stafford. His play speaks for itself.
Arumph. I didn't get an arumph from that guy. Sean McVay is dyed in the wool. That is the reason they traded for Matthew Stafford with Jared Goff years ago. They won a Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford. He's joined at the hip now with Matthew Stafford. And that gets into another question of whether or not those two guys are right off into the sunset, whether that's this year or next year to come. So I do wonder if we could be watching the last of Matthew Stafford here. He's a $1.80 betting favorite now to win this award. Remember last week he was plus $3. And we advised then, if you're going to bet it, you got to bet Matthew Stafford. Now Drake May has gone to a plus $1.50. Jensen, this is going to take all these turns. There's no more data points. The playoffs do not matter. This is a regular season award. With the data in, where would you feel comfortable if you had a bet on whether it's Matthew Stafford or whether it's Drake May?
Nowhere, because these voters don't get it. The correct person doesn't usually win the award. And right now, there are arguments to be made. Why do we not have Trevor Lawrence in this discussion? Look at some of the other underlying statistics of guys that are, far higher, as far longer odds than where these two are. One of them's going to win it. Half of the people are going to like it, half are not. We have advised a lot of our listeners, do not get involved in the NFL MVP markets because the right choice, or at least the objectively right choice, doesn't usually win. As we are here today, there is some history of where Matthew Stafford's overall statistics are in comparison to past MVP winners. So if you wanted a data point, if you were going to try and bet it, that's where I would go. But I will have nothing to do with this and cannot wait. That's why I say transparency with these voters. Tell us why you voted for the person you did, back it up, and then we'll go from there and see if moving forward there can be any objectivity for this very subjective award.
Plus 20,000 for Trevor Lawrence as the third betting choice. 40,000 for Sam Darnold. Why is Jalen Hurts even on the odds board? Jalen Hurts is on there with Josh Allen. The same. What are we doing in this market? But that's where we are. Very quickly, one other market, and there's some interesting data you saw here. Tyler Shuck, we mentioned that late touchdown, to at least get the cover if you're like us, on the Saints yesterday. And we're looking for offensive rookie of the year. And Jackson Dart finished pretty strongly in his win and the Giants win over the Cowboys yesterday. This is interesting to me. Tyler Shuck has really drifted to the fourth betting choice at 15-1. Travion Henderson has gone to the second betting choice with Jackson Dart at 9-1. And Teterola McMillan is now minus 1,000. Did we all watch the same games over the weekend?
Well, it's not just that, but Dave, let me throw out, because again, I'm going to be a little selfish at this point. I do have Jackson Dart 20-1 in pocket. Jackson Dart, with his performance yesterday, Dave, became the first quarterback in NFL history to end a season with 2,000 or more passing yards, 450 or more rush yards, 15 or more passing touchdowns, and 9 or more rushing touchdowns. Now, we thought the NFL MVP was a subjective market. What in the heck are we going to get for offensive rookie of the year? Ted McMillan and you know, where he's at from the body of work is one thing. Travion Henderson, nice closing stanza, nice closing argument for what he had yesterday in a blowout win for the Patriots. I have no clue where this is going. This one might be the bigger coin flip between NFL MVP and offensive rookie of the year.
Absolutely fascinating. I thought Tyler Shuck, I know he had the late pick there in the game, but came back down there with a touchdown. Thought he played pretty darn well. I thought his body work was pretty good too, but Tedrone McMillan, right now, he did have 4 catches for 85 yards in that loss on Saturday to the Buccaneers. Speaking of line moves, before the line moves, the sharp plays, they're already there. January, it's not about volume, it's about precision. NFL playoffs are upon us, so those lists, limits are going to rise. You got to mistake and shrink those mistakes, and timing matters more than ever. So you're not going to outsmart those billion-dollar sports books or full-time sharps on your own. With Sharp Plays, you don't have to worry about all that. They're powered by advanced AI, connected to proven insider sources, locked in on the NFL playoffs. The Sharp Plays is going to help identify where the sharp money hits before the numbers disappear. You're going to get free daily reports, real-time alerts, market-moving insights directed straight to your inbox and or XFeed. They've been around the block here since 2011, so they got transparent receipts and locked it and backed it up with documented results and public log. So sharpplays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line this postseason. Visit sharpplays.com. No postseason for the ATL. And that meant that Raheem Morris, despite ending the year in a nice winning streak here, because they won their last 4 games here. And ironically, when you look at the standings in the NFC South, the Falcons are tied for first. Now, they didn't win that, because the tiebreaker goes to Carolina. But it's the Panthers at 8-9, the Bucs at 8-9, Falcons at 8-9. And despite winning 4 in a row, Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, shown the door last night by Arthur Blank. So a whole regime change is going to take place down there in the ATL. What'd you make of that? Because again, 4-9, they had been mathematically eliminated weeks ago, and yet it came down to that Falcons game and a victory to get Carolina in. I guess body of work, 5 years for Fontenot, 2 for Raheem. Raheem's been around the block. He's had a couple different coaching spots here that didn't work out before. What'd you make of Atlanta, despite this nice finish, saying goodbye to their brain trust?
Well, I think Arthur Blank's a businessman. He understands that you give a group a half decade, then we better have some positive ROI. And that starts with wins and losses, right? Said it last week to you when we were previewing this matchup. It's the last 10 years now with the win over the weekend that the Atlanta Falcons, when mathematically eliminated, Dave, moved to 13-4 straight up. All other games, there are about 30 games under 500 in that span. So that's where it's at, right? Okay, you can win the games when it doesn't matter, but when it does matter, you're not winning. So inso facto, I'm your boss. We'll see you later. And I think it is also personnel. We're seeing a lot on social media about Terry Fontenot. And remember at the draft or in the war room when he's trying to explain, or at least it looked like he was trying to explain to Arthur Blank after Arthur Blank gave out the monstrosity of the contract to Kirk Cousins.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, you knew that the die might have been cast then. And Arthur Blank probably told Terry Fontenot, this is on you now. If you don't get it right, that's it. And so I think yesterday, regardless of finishing the way they did, David, were meaningless games. And you can win meaningless games anytime. So I think that's the biggest reason why those two are out as of last night.
I agree. And again, you kind of look at that was the albatross was going to be the Michael Penix draft after signing Kirk Cousins to the big money that Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris shelled out. At least Terry Fontenot did that. And you have to look at it and go 8-9 with all that talent. That cupboard is not bare. So I think Arthur Blank's looking to see who can take that next step with that franchise because they do have some talent there. Meanwhile, in Indianapolis, Chris Ballard's coming back again with Shane Steichen again. They were 7-1 and number one spot at that point in the AFC. Then the injuries to Danny Dimes, and it just spun out of control. 8-9. So do that math here, losing 8 of their last 9 games here to go to 8-9 overall. What'd you make of the decision of the Colts now Jim Irsay has moved on, obviously, and departed this earth, and yet it's the family that says we're not going to move on here from our head coach and our GM.
I think a lot has to go into what was going well when Daniel Jones and company were healthy. You can't discount also the first half of that season. There's a lot that was going right. And injuries, if you look at any team that derailed their season, the Colts are a nominee for one of the tops in all the National Football League.
Yeah, wild to see which teams are going to move on and which teams are going to stand pat. Colts are standing pat. Falcons are moving on. Much more to get to. Marty Herney, our GM here on this Black Monday, and also in the Black Money for tickets at Cash for Us. All that coming up right here on VSiN by the Books.